It is 7:30, time once again for Community Forum, and we are very happy to have with us live in the studios this morning Paul Leto. He is a local business attorney, and he's formerly with the Board of Governors of the Washington State Bar, and he is in to talk with us about irregularities in Washington State votes, and specifically Snohomish County. Paul, thanks for coming in this morning.
Good morning.
Let me begin and ask you, how is it that you got involved with the issue of voting problems?
Well, I was part of the widely misunderstood army of 15,000 lawyers that Kerry was supposedly bringing to bear on the recent election. And widely misunderstood because really our only purpose there is to make sure everybody could vote, no matter what their political affiliation was. But there was a lot of press suggesting that 15,000 lawyers were ready to go to court regarding the election at the drop of a hat. But in any event, I volunteered to work on Election Day and ended up being placed in a precinct south of Everett. Basically, the Democrats only wanted to put lawyers in precincts that tended to trend Democratic or were heavily Democratic, thinking that, if they just make sure everybody can vote, that ultimately is going to be helpful to Democratic candidates. So there was a little bit of self-interest involved, and yet our purpose there is to help everybody. And even though the electronic touchscreen voting was only 32% of the actual total vote in Snohomish County and in precincts across the county, we discovered that when we ran the results tapes at the end of the day that basically the Republicans won almost all of the races on the touchscreen machines. Bush won. Patty Murray tended to edge out in Nethercutt, but Rossi won pretty decisively on the touchscreen machines. And the only other Democrat that actually won was Jay Inslee, because he won pretty much in a landslide. So I started to look into that because, it was pretty interesting that countywide, after 68% of the votes were counted, Christine Gregoire, for example, had a 2,000-vote lead. But in the touchscreens, Rossi, and this is only the remaining less than one-third, the remaining 32%, Rossi got an 8,000-vote lead, which is all pretty much a landslide in the touchscreen voting, and ended up winning Snohomish County by 6,000 votes. And obviously, with a race as of this morning down to between 42 and 50 votes, 6,000 votes in Snohomish County clearly decided this election, one way or the other.
So in addition to the touchscreen votes that were cast, then the other method would have been with paper ballots?
Yes, the absentees and provisional ballots were cast on paper, where people would draw a line between to finish the arrow between the candidate or the referendum of their choice. And then those paper ballots were subject to optical scanning and central tabulating computers. We've now had a hand recount, so in effect the paper ballots are paper ballots because the whole machine scanning part of it has been eliminated. They've done a hand recount, and in that hand recount, Christine Gregoire netted an additional 42 votes compared to the machine count.
Okay. So just to clarify, when people go in on voting day, the people that physically go in to vote, do they just end up dealing with electronic touchscreen systems?
If they're registered in the poll book, they're just going to be directed straight to an electronic touchscreen system. If there is a problem with the registration in the poll book or a question about whether they can vote, or in a few rare cases where people specifically requested a paper ballot, then they're directed to a provisional ballot. The provisional ballot is something that's put in an envelope and a decision is made later on in terms of whether that ballot is actually going to be counted or not. They look into your registration and make sure that you are registered, and if you are registered and the signature is, reasonably matching, then they will count the provisional ballot. So basically, there are two different, there are paper ballots and touchscreen, quote-unquote, ballots cast on Election Day, but the touchscreens are basically the predominant way of voting on Election Day if you are in the poll books.
And the people that come in on the day of to use the touchscreens, what kind of hurdles do you have to go through, or ID do you have to show, or whatever, to be able to use those?
Well, in some counties around the state of Washington, they improperly were asking people for ID. It's not a legal request to request ID in the state of Washington. It is in some other states. Unless you're a first-time registrant and you did not provide on your voter registration form either the last four digits of your Social Security number or your driver's license. In that case, then you need to show ID when you show up. Otherwise, you give your name and your address, and then the fact that you can execute a signature that matches the signature on the voter registration card, that is the primary guarantee against any kind of fraudulent voting, as well as the fact that it would be a felony to do so.
Okay, so it sounds like then you've got two different groups of voters, or two different groups of people, that one using the touch screens, the other using the paper, and that the way that they ended up casting their votes just didn't correlate.
Right, and the interesting part that to understand is that there's a huge crossover vote, and what I mean by that is in terms of time, because lots of people like to take their absentee paper ballots and drop them off at the polls, and then there's also those provisional ballots, which are paper, and they're by definition executed at the polls, and so there's lots of paper ballots that are also cast on Election Day. I say that to set up, you know, to understand the results and findings that I've made, because you can't account for the difference by saying, well, the touchscreen, you know, constitutes votes on Election Day, whereas absentees constitutes votes, you know, a week prior to the election or something like that, because so many of those absentees are actually cast on Election Day as well. So it's difficult to account for the differences between touchscreens and absentees by saying there's a time difference involved.
So, what is your summation then for potential reasons that these differences would occur?
Well, there's two potential reasons. Basically, Rossi picked up 5 points or 5 percentage points on the touch screens, and it's a statistically significant amount of time and or amount of points to pick up. And then also, there are certain precincts that statistically are, you know, the differences between the way they voted on paper and the way they voted electronically are make the probability that there is anything random going on very, very small. There's at least 20 precincts, for example, that are less than 1.5% probability. So that means that the Rossi's performance that was better on touchscreens has nothing to do with chance or distribution. So it means basically one of two things. It either means that there's something wrong with the way the touch screens malfunctioned, something wrong with the way the hand count malfunctioned, or else for some reason Democrats disproportionately chose absentee ballots and paper ballots and just avoided the touch screens. Now, we know there was a little bit of that because there are a few rare requests that people said, I want to vote a paper ballot, but when we're dealing with the absentee ballot numbers being so huge, 68% or so of the total population that was voting, you would have to have overwhelming numbers of Democrats and voters going for the paper ballots in order to create any kind of bias that way. So we can basically rule out the idea that there's anything wrong with the hand or with the paper ballots because we've gone through a hand count, so we know the machines weren't, although Gregoire picked up 42 votes, we know that the machines weren't, the tabulating machines weren't hacked in any significant way. And then we can, so we rule that out. So we have, what we have left is a touchscreen malfunction, and we have Democrats voting disproportionately via paper ballots. And we know that it would be very difficult for the Democrats to vote disproportionately via paper ballots, although there was some of that going on. So based on statistics alone, we're left with a strong inference that there was a malfunction with the touchscreens.
Hmm. Now, who is the company that manufactures the paper ballot tabulators, and who is the company that manufactures the touchscreens?
Well, the manufacturer is known as Sequoia, and they are also known as Sequoia Pacific or Sequoia Voting Systems. They were previously owned by Jefferson Smurfit, and now they're owned by De La Rue, which is a multinational that primarily prints up currencies for about 160 different countries around the world, and they got a no-bid contract to print up Iraq's new currency.
So, and anything else you can tell me about Sequoia? Are they? My understanding is there's less than half a dozen companies that seem to be producing the bulk of all the voting machines here in the U.S.
Yeah, Sequoia is one of the big four. You know, you also have Diebold, you have ES&S, you have Sequoia, and then there's a small handful of others like Triad and stuff like that. But basically, Sequoia is one of the four big ones. Diebold and ES&S together constitute a large majority of the counting of the vote in the United States, and those two happen to be, as top executives, two brothers. But Sequoia does have a significant amount of voting machines out there. In Snohomish County, they have the touch screens. They also provide all of Nevada, which was a battleground state, as well as all of New Mexico, which is also a battleground state. And both of those states, Nevada and New Mexico, the exit polls indicated that Kerry had won the state, but ultimately they went for Bush.
Now, does Sequoia and its executives, do they have any interesting ties or support towards one party or the other? For instance, I know that there was one of the producers of the, not necessarily Sequoia, voting machines had made a claim that they were going to deliver a particular state to George Bush. I know another voting machine company that Chuck Hagel had been intimately involved with for years that ended up delivering votes to him in a previous election.
Right. Well, Chuck Hagel used to be highly involved with ES&S, and then they counted the ballots when he was elected senator. And then there's even African American precincts that had never previously voted Republican voted for Chuck Hagel in that particular election. Diebold's CEO is the one who was a Bush pioneer fundraiser, and he's the one who wrote the letter saying he would do everything in his power to deliver Ohio's electoral votes to the president, and put that in writing to various Bush supporters. But in terms of Sequoia, their history is not particularly interesting, other than a decade-long history of bribery of elected officials in Louisiana that resulted in a few people going to prison, including a guilty plea to bribery by Sequoia's exclusive agent and an indictment of the Sequoia's regional sales manager. However, the sales manager was not convicted, and there's a controversy over whether that was because he received immunity or what.
Okay. So Sequoia and their machines, there's been technicians who have come forward for, again, not necessarily for Sequoia, but in terms of touchscreen technology, pointing out that there's numerous flaws in it that that should be addressed that haven't been so far, as well as these machines are run on proprietary software. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, the basic function of an election is not just to, declare a winner, but it's also to legitimize, the government that is going to be formed by the winner. So the key to a legitimate, fair, and transparent election is that the loser of the election, whoever that happens to be, has to accept that the process by which the result was reached was fair. And so I think what's happened with these touchscreens is that election officials around the country have completely misunderstood one of the primary, they've misunderstood our democracy, essentially, because they've interpreted their job as producing quick results and accurate results in their mind, and that computers would assist them in producing quick and accurate results. But they've missed the whole idea that the results must be trusted more than anything else, and that the only reason for the results to be accurate is so that they are trusted, and that the only reason, and that the primary reason for trust is so that the loser can say, okay, well, we'll try again some other time, and they will, there will be continue to be the consent of the governed in the democracy, even though one side won and one side lost. So they've forgotten that, that trusting the system and that everybody can reasonably understand and trust the system is the key to elections. And they've forgotten that, the appearance of fairness standard really applies here. And that standard is, it's kind of like the same with judges. It doesn't matter that a judge is not, in fact, corrupt if the judge looks corrupt, because it undermines the system if there's an appearance of unfairness or an appearance of corruption. That in and of itself is a problem. The same thing goes with our elections. Even if there was nothing wrong with these computers, there's an appearance of unfairness and an appearance of corruption for this specific reason. And that reason is that these companies, these voting software companies, protect their software as proprietary trade secrets, which they will litigate to keep a secret. And yet that is where our vote is being counted, is within that software. So it's as if the government and these elections officials have decided to delegate the counting of our democracy's votes to a private corporation that has had exclusive agents convicted of bribery, and we are not going to be allowed to monitor that in any way, shape, or form. And that's a huge problem, because how is the loser of the election, whoever that may be, going to trust the result? There's no reason why they should. So when reasonable questions can be asked, that means we've got a problem. So my position is that even though I have burdens of proof when I go into court, I don't need to prove anything, although I think I could prove a lot. I don't need to prove a thing in terms of the fairness or unfairness of the elections. All I need to do is ask questions, and if there are any reasonable questions, it's the government and our elections officials that need to prove to us, the public, that they're providing transparent, clean, fair, accurate elections that we can trust. And right now, I would say that in counties that are using these technologies that have proprietary software, they absolutely cannot carry that burden of proof. They can't prove it. They couldn't possibly prove it. They haven't looked at that proprietary software themselves, because they're not even allowed to. So it's really an outrage. And the only way that it happened is because these elections officials have a certain level of trust in whiz-bang computer quote-unquote experts. And But they've fundamentally have misunderstood democracy. There is nothing about our elections that's based on trust. Or if there is, trust is absolutely minimized as a factor in our elections. You know, and the proof of that is that you always have observers from each political party to watch the counting of the vote. It's not based on trust. It's based on, you know, verification and adversarial observers making sure that everything's on the up and up. Everything from the way our statutes are written to the way the observer system is written to the provisions for recounts, it's all because we don't trust the counters of the vote. We're going to verify them. And so these touchscreen systems and this technology in general is just a complete violation of every democratic principle on a fundamental level. But because it was so fundamental, there was never anything expressly written into the law to prohibit these kind of touchscreens.
Have there, to your knowledge, have there been any election officials that have tried to find out what the inner mechanics of these machines are? Or has that just come from citizens?
No. I think that, for example, the state of Washington and most governmental agencies require proprietary code to be revealed if you're going to use this code on state systems, because with regard to any computer program, the government is concerned, you know, is it going to be stable? Is there any rogue code or any code that just, even if it's not malicious code, might interfere with the system and stuff like that? But they've allowed it to pass, and they've accepted these trade secret arguments from the voting companies, which is relatively unusual for the government to do. Usually they're not going to invest in a computer program without fully understanding exactly what the consequences of that program are.
And what has been the elected officials' government's reaction to people like yourself and like-minded citizens when they bring up these questions?
Well, their reaction, I mean, varies around the country. I mean, the reaction in Florida, I think, has been one of utter hostility. I think that the reaction in terms of at least requesting documents and stuff like that in Snohomish County has been somewhat cooperative, very cooperative on some stuff and uncooperative on a few other things. But primarily their reaction is to always blame the humans. So if there's a problem, it's human error. An example came up in, I mean, that is so extreme that Scott Konopasek, who was actually one of the people that brought in Sequoia touchscreens into Snohomish County, took a job down then in California. And right after this recent election, he ended up, he was going to leave and form a consulting business anyway, but he ended up being fired before his date. And one of the reasons that the manager stated for firing him is because he made public comments to the media dissing the old, quote-unquote, old lady volunteers or something to that effect as having made too many mistakes. So there's this tendency to always blame the humans. Anything that comes up with a computer as a discrepancy, oh, it must have been a data entry problem, or it must be, you know, and particularly, you know, there was many, many instances of people pressing the Democratic button on the touchscreens in Snohomish County, and then the Republican box would be checked. And their explanation for that is, oh, basically you're like a knuckle dragger. They didn't use that term, but, you know, they just think that you're actually touching the Republican one by accident, and when you think you're touching the Democrat. So it's always a blame the human type of a thing. But we know that, you know, with many of these people, they're actually using a stylus, you know, the pen, to touch it, and they're not, you know, dragging their knuckles over the Republican button. So, you know, that explanation doesn't think. The only mechanical explanation that they've been willing to entertain is what they call screen calibration problems, where if the two layers of the screen are misaligned, then pressing, you know, in a certain spot will actually make the computer think that you're pressing in a spot immediately above it or immediately below it. But the problem is that when there's not any reports really of any significance stating that when people press the Republican box, you know, the Democratic box lit up, or when people press the Republican box, the Libertarian box got checked. There's, you know, the vast majority, if not all, of the reports are people trying to vote Democrat, trying to vote for Kerry and Bush lining up. And then there's another type of error where people stick their card into the machine and it comes up pre-voted. In other words, the selections are already made. And then people also, when that happens, they usually have difficulty unselecting those candidates. So you try to push it, and the machine just doesn't want to take no for an answer. And eventually, most people say that after three or four tries, they're able to unselect these pre-votes and then change them. But that creates a question and an uncertainty about whether their attempts to change that vote back were even effective. I mean, just because something is displayed on the screen does not mean that that's what was actually recorded on the results cartridge. You know, that's a complete mystery. That's a conversation in the secret room, if you will. And I don't think I'm really exaggerating when I use the metaphor of the secret room, because nobody's been allowed to look in there.
And what's happened to the people that have tried to look in there?
Well, I mean, you don't even have to look into the room. For example, I just requested Freedom of Information a manual for how to operate the Sequoia machines, and Sequoia will litigate to prevent me from getting a copy of that from Snohomish County if necessary. So you don't even have to get close to the secret room, but they will take, quote-unquote, all actions, according to the letter that they wrote, to protect what they deem to be their proprietary trade secrets. So what will happen to them? People that try it, they'll be denied. If they persist, they'll end up at the very least having to go all the way to court, if not on appeal, just to get some information.
All right, we only have about 5 minutes left. Tell me, where do you hope to go with the information that you've dug up between the discrepancies between the paper ballots and the electronic votes cast, and where do you see us heading in terms of potentially fixing these problems?
Well, first of all, I think there's an intersection of proof. First of all, I alluded earlier to the statistics pointing to certain precincts that had low probabilities that their touchscreen votes were actually accurate. In addition to that, you know, there's the records of where people were having these problems with the touchscreens changing their votes. And there's going to be, or there is, I should say, a very significant amount of overlap between those two places. So even though one could make an argument that statistics in and of itself, you know, there might still be some arguments against it, and one could still argue, regarding these problems with screen calibration, I think the most compelling thing is that they're pointing in the same direction. And so where are we going to go with that? Well, first of all, we're going to complete the investigation. And when we complete the investigation, you know, and we're going to get all the information that we can, and we'll sue if necessary to get the information from the audit logs and the other things, and to perform a real audit of what's gone on with these machines and what their record and history really is. Because I think the elections officials that have invested so much in purchasing the machines are the last people who are going to launch a critical examination of whether they work or not, because, you know, then their decision to purchase them in the first place could be criticized. So the audit needs to be an outside audit. I think there's some very compelling questions that already exist based on the data found so far. That effort is going to continue through many different people. And then we're going to release a scientific paper that's going to be co-authored between myself and Dr. Jeffrey Hoffman. And we'll go from there and raise this issue and make the government prove to us that all future elections are going to be transparent, clean, fair, and something that the loser can reasonably trust.
And what can citizens do to support this effort?
Well, I don't have an organization myself. I just have my law firm, Lato & Penfield in Everett, Washington. And, you know, I kind of, I'm doing this through my law firm, so that's where the photocopiers and stuff come from. But there are organizations that are helpful to me and that really need people's support. So I would recommend that people go to votersunite.org and sign up there to volunteer, and particularly if you can make a contribution to votersunite.org, that would be wonderful. They've been a significant assistance to me and my investigation. There's also blackboxvoting.org. They're very, very busy nationwide with the largest Freedom of Information Act in U.S. Request in U.S. history. They can also use your support, and they're very busy in many different states. So there's a lot to be done. There's opportunities to volunteer, opportunities to contribute, and opportunities to make sure that any future elections that we have aren't subject to the kinds of uncertainties that we have here. And I think that we need more than just a voter-verified paper ballot, which is something that is a common buzzword, but we need to actually get the computers out of the process unless we can open up the secret room. And if we can't open up the secret room, then we just need to get rid of the computers from the process.
And you see it a value, too, to have people rattling the cages of their local media outlets to cover this issue?
I think it is. I think it's very important to contact the media and insist on coverage of the issue. Just be aware that I've got an email from the editor or one of the editors in the Tacoma News Tribune corresponding with a local auditor and referring to the this is before this election, referring to the quote-unquote loonies who think their vote's going to be stolen. When in fact we can now prove that in 44 polling locations in Snohomish County there were more votes than voters. In 45 polling locations there were fewer votes than voters. And so no matter what, when you've got either additional votes popping up or votes disappearing, it's a serious problem, because at the very, very least people have been allowed to vote without signing the poll book. I mean, that's the most innocent possible explanation, but even that's a crime, actually, and a felony and a problem with their procedures. So it doesn't matter which way you cut it, there's a problem, but just understand that there's a high level of trust, I think, for the media, for our elections officials, and that trust is inappropriate, but it's there. So just keep that in mind when you communicate with the media, that their perspective is one of trusting computers and trusting the system, and we need to you know, get them into a little bit different thinking mentality if we want to preserve our democracy.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
We've just been talking with Paul Leto. He is a local business attorney and formerly with the Board of Governors of the Washington State Bar Association.